Amen. That is true. And He is faithful even at times like this. We are continuing in a study looking at the prayers of the Old Testament. And I would invite you to be a part of this. I invited you last week and I heard nothing. So I'm putting my email address on the board. And you can copy that if you do not know it. And I've got some new questions because you haven't sent me any questions yet. So I want this time to be a time when we connect. How can we connect if we're not willing to connect with one another? So just as a starter, some questions that you can reflect on this week with the sermon as we look at Jacob's prayer as he is ready to reunite himself with his brother Esau. Do you ever wrestle with God? And how about this one? What do you think is the opposite of love? And how about this one? What's the point of prayer for you? And finally, I put for this week a quote from Karl Barth. To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. What do you think of that? Well, as you ponder that, you might be joining me to read this book, which will stimulate some questions, some comments, some feelings, so that we can share as a community. But for today, will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, as I am preaching virtually to people that might be tuning in around the globe, may you take the words of my mouth. May you express the thoughts of this scripture passage in ways that would both stimulate our relationship with you and our relationship with the world. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Someone once said there's only two kinds of prayer. Help me, help me, help me. And thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I like that. That fits most prayers. But I recall wilder prayers. The ones that I seem to attach with are the ones where I am wrestling with God. Where I am dissatisfied, where I am challenged, where I want something more. And we engage God. We cry out. Do you ever wrestle with God? Maybe over a loved one that's going through an illness or a personal concern that God doesn't seem to be listening to you in your life. Maybe it's a frustration over the terrible things that happen in this world. But the question is, do you wrestle with God? You know, there was a great movie that Robert Duvall starred in called The Apostle. He was a southern country preacher. He was not well educated. He had a hot temper and a criminal record. He lived with his mother even though he was an aging man. And he had this disturbing relationship with God. And one day, his neighbor overheard the shouting that came from the attic bedroom in his mother's house where he was staying. There was crashing and booming, and the neighbor came over and complained to his mother. "It sounds like you're having a madman over there," he said. And she calmly replied, "Oh, that's just Sonny. Talking to the Lord. Sometimes he talks and sometimes he shouts. Tonight he's yelling." You know, in that scene, he's actually accusing God, but accusing God in a way that pours out his heart. In the book of Genesis, there exists a character who had nothing but success in his life. Whatever he touched turned to gold. He's a man that we could both admire, but as we read his story in Genesis, we discover that he's a troubled man, that he has kind of a shady past. You see, his very name is Jacob, the trickster, because he grabbed his twin brother's heel as he was coming out of the womb, like he was later going to grab the birthright of his older brother Esau. You see, he tricks not only Esau into selling his birthright, but he also tricks his own father into giving him that blessing. It's a very touching story, but we get a kind of complex personality from this story. You know, his manipulations of life seem to haunt him horribly, and they catch up with him. So later in life, as we follow the story, he runs away. And he runs away to his relatives. And he marries there and becomes an incredibly successful businessman. Now has an empire at his disposal. But finally the time comes for him to return to the promised land. To the land of his birth. To the land that God wants his people at. And so he makes the journey, but very fearful because he knew that he would come into contact with his long-lost brother Esau. And he might not survive that event. You can read the fear in him. And that gets scarier as he gets closer and closer. And so he comes up with a plan. The plan. I'm gonna wow him with all my presence. And so he literally sends flock after flock, herd after herd, each separated, so that as a gift to his brother, he will overwhelm him with his opulence and overwhelm him with his generosity, because he's still afraid. But that night, something happens. The night when he's ready to prepare, he takes his family and crosses the river, puts them on safety, and then comes back. And that night, he meets a mysterious stranger who wrestles with him throughout the night. Have you ever wrestled at night? He wrestles throughout the night with him, gripping him, not letting him go. The stranger says, "Let me go, let me go, let me go." And he says, "No, I won't. Until you bless me with the blessing of God." And so the stranger blesses him. But all he has that he's left with is that the Bible tells us his hip is out of place. For the rest of his life, he will walk with a limp. A cripple. A cripple who has wrestled with God and survived. And he's given a new name by this stranger. He said, "You are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel," which means struggles with God. Hear now the reading of the scripture found in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 3. Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have lived with Laban as an alien and stayed until now. And I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female slaves. And I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." The messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you with 400 men who are with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies, a divided people, so that as he was thinking about it, that if Esau comes to one company and destroys it, then the other company that is left will escape. And Jacob said, this is his prayer. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all these steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. What a prayer. Pouring out his heart. The scripture goes on. So Jacob spent that night there. And from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau. 200 female goats and 20 male goats. 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milk camels and their colts. 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he delivered into the hands of his servants, and every drove by itself. And he said to his servants, pass on ahead of me and put space between the drove and drove. He instructed the foremost, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, to whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you? You shall then say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau. And moreover, he is behind us. He is likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves. You shall say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he thought, I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterwards, I shall see his face. Perhaps he shall accept me. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself spent the night in the camp. The same night he got up, took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children, and crossed the ford at the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen the face of God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket. because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. May God bless the reading of his word. Have you ever wrestled with God? Has there been a moment when you, like the apostle, was crying out, screaming for something? You know, the truth is that there is something good about that. And the goodness about that is being authentic. It's sticking with it. Because being authentic is what it takes to be a human. But a full human needs not only to do it, but needs to be persistent at it. You see, Jacob was willing to stick with it. All night he wrestled. Before that, for weeks and months, he planned and prayed and fearfully faced his future. But he was persistent. He kept going. In 1990, Herb Stein, drawing on 50 years of experience making and analyzing economic policy, told some visiting and probably perplexed Russians that the basic reason for our prosperity in America is that 120 million Americans get up in the morning and go to work and do the best they can for themselves and their families. And previous millions did the same thing for two centuries. We should be every bit as persistent in our pursuit of spiritual blessings as we are in our prosperity. Persistence is important in the spiritual life. Oh, it's not the complete answer, but just picking up the Bible and reading it, just sharing with someone our prayers, just opening our hearts to God is action. And being persistent can take any form. Joy, peace, anger, sadness, all the fullness of persistence is what God wants us to have. But to be a human being, it takes more than simply persistence in life. We also have to have hope. We have to be hopeful. At this time, last night I heard my neighbors, who are much younger than I am, and they were having a rousing party. I don't know if they were keeping social distance. I couldn't see their backyard. But I enjoyed their laughter and their banter and their energy and their loudness. Because too often, right now for me, the world is silent, isolated. So to be hopeful is somebody who puts it out there, somebody who remains optimistic even at a pessimistic time, who is caring for others through email, through notes. You see, being hopeful is being truly human. But unfortunately, hope alone is not the answer to wholeness either. You see, like Jacob, we have to face our brokenness. Jacob has a dislocated hip. He's left with a scar. What has scarred you? What are the things that have hurt you, wounded you, but at the end of that process, you found hope. But you had found hope in facing your brokenness. Now, brokenness is more than physical pain. It's a part of this world around us. And as Christians, we need to face the brokenness not only of our lives, but of others' lives, whether it be sickness or starvation or isolation or anger or inability to connect. You see, we too have to struggle, and we have to face that we fail. finally, to be a full human, we have to be open to reconciliation. Do you know what that takes? That takes what the Bible calls a contrite heart. Do you know what that means? That simply means that we don't think so highly of ourselves or so badly of ourselves that we can't think about the other person. Think about the other in our lives. To be human is to be open to reconciliation with God, just as Jacob was, just as probably that wrestling match was. You see, we have to be persistent, like Jacob. We have to hold on to hope. We have to acknowledge our brokenness. We have to then seek reconciliation. We too have fears. The fears are that this epidemic will overwhelm us, will overcome us. But only when we cry out to God will we know what it really means to be a man or woman of God, in full. Let me remind you of Martin Luther King Jr. as I close. If you know anything about his life, his was a wrestling match with angels. Very gifted, intellectual man. Could have gone to heights in just his writing and his ideas. But he had a problem. He wrestled with the demonic angels of his time. And he said there's no spirituality without wrestling. He said that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you in the midst of wrestling. And what is the Spirit? He was asked. He said, the Spirit is something that you scream and jump and sing about. Yes, it's that. But right there in Montgomery, Alabama, the spirituality overtook his life. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And so I go and I stand by the poor, the messed up, the beaten up, the downtrodden. He was an educated man. But that was his spirituality. You see, in brokenness with the prisoners, the poor, the brokenhearted, he went to Birmingham to mourn with fathers and mothers of bombed out children, to challenge the white supremacy of the Alabama countryside, and to say, I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to hold on like Jacob did. I'm going to hold on until white people realize they're not supreme. Until every time they think they are, that they are killing the Spirit of God. And that spirituality sent him to Selma to challenge the terrible voting discrimination, to challenge we Americans with what God would have us do, to live contritely with our God. And it is with that humbled heart that we will go to the communion table. And as we do that, may we remember Jacob and Martin Luther King Jr. Amen.